This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a Wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, Wimpy, Wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, Hefty, Hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Rifleman Radio Show on Appleseed Radio. The Rifleman Radio Show is a project of the Appleseed Program, which is the sole project of the Revolutionary War Veterans Association. And why the Revolutionary War Veterans Association? Why? Who is that? What do they do? Why? Are they Revolutionary War veterans descendants? Are they, obviously they're not living members, living veterans of the Revolutionary War. Do they wear frilly shirts? Do they walk around saying, top of the morning, Governor? No, the Revolutionary War Veterans Association is an organization dedicated to teaching rifle marksmanship, rifle safety, American heritage and history, and honoring the men and women who stood together on April 19, 1775, at Lexington Green, at the North Bridge in Concord, and along Battle Road back to Boston. These folks made a great many sacrifices in order that we have the nation that we have today, in order that we have the freedoms and liberties that we have today. And how can we honor them? We can remember them. We can remember them to honor them. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to continue the heritage of rifle marksmanship and at the same time remember those men and women who stood together on April 19, 1775, and then 8 long bloody years afterwards. You know, we owe these folks a lot. We owe these folks a lot. We wouldn't have this nation if they hadn't done what they did, if they hadn't made the sacrifices that they made. And they did, and so we do. We should honor them. We should remember them. today, I was listening to the radio as I was finishing up my work, and I was listening to the ongoing discussion about textbooks in the state of Texas. And the folks doing the textbooks in Texas are pushing to take out all of the references to Paul Revere. They want Paul Revere gone. They want the Liberty Bell gone. They want the discussion on the Constitution gone. Why? Why is that, do you think? Well, regardless of what it is, the reasons for it, the Appleseed Project is determined that those folks will be remembered, that their names won't be forgotten. Their stories will be remembered. Their sacrifices will be remembered. And that's what we do. Every weekend of the year, somewhere in the United States, is an Appleseed Rifle Marksmanship event, a two-day course of rifle marksmanship and American heritage and history. Somewhere in the United States, every weekend, there is one. And most weekends, there is a dozen or two dozen spread out all across the nation, every state. In the continental United States. We're still working on Hawaii and Alaska. So that's our mission. That's our goal. That's what we're trying to do, is keep the story alive, to keep the folks honored by remembering them. I don't care if it was 230-plus years ago. It doesn't matter any more than for me to say that I don't want to remember my grandfather because he died 10 years ago, so I should forget about him. Well, I don't want to forget about him. He was a great man. I don't want to forget about the founders. They were great men. I don't want to forget about Isaac Davis, about Captain Parker. I don't want to forget about Paul Revere. They were great men. I want to remember them. I want my children to remember them. I want their children to remember them. Without understanding history, without knowing history, you're doomed to repeat it. You're doomed to make the same mistakes again. You know, that's even the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting something different to happen each time you do it. That's what happens with folks who do not know their history, who do not understand what has happened before, and continue to make the same mistakes over and over again. Well, we're determined. The Appleseed Project is determined to make sure that any of the folks that we come into contact with, they get at least a heavy dose of one day of American history. And what day is that? That's April 19th, 1775, which obviously is one of the most important dates in our history because that is the day that our nation was born. Okay, tonight we're going to have kind of an open format. There's a lot of things I want to talk about that aren't all directly related. Then if anyone has questions or comments, I want them to call in and ask them so that we can try and start or continue our discussion of the April 19th events that are coming up. The April 19th events, that's our signature weekend. That's the weekend when we pull out all the stops, and we run events in every state, border to border, coast to coast. That's the weekend that we really put a big push on it. We really get excited about it, the April 19th events, and we want to keep this foremost in folks' heads because we're running right up to it now. Only a few weeks away, and we want to make sure that the preparation is continuing, that the excitement is continuing for it, that you're doing all the things you need to do to make sure that your event is going to be a success. Obviously, if you're a shoot boss, this is the time to go ahead and contact the range, make sure that you've contacted the range at the location of the shoot that you're going to shoot boss, and start holding their hand, making sure that you talk to them and see if there's anything that they need from you, anything else they need, any last-minute documents. Make sure that you have the porta-potties scheduled, etc. You don't want to wait till the last minute and find out that that some other organization is having some other celebration that weekend too, and they have none left. So make sure that whenever you're doing, as you're shoot bossing these events, that you're going down your shoot boss list and making sure that you're following it very closely. As I said, it's just about that time to go ahead and check in with the ranges. 30 days out, the shoot boss is asked to take control of the event and begin making sure that the range is good, all of the folks there are happy, they have everything that they need, your supplies for the event are ordered. You can start talking to instructors that it might be able to sign on and help you, etc., and begin in earnest your promotions, the flyers, the calls to the local radio stations, getting the local papers, etc., to do a story on the upcoming on the Appleseed, because it's occurring on a very significant date in America's history. That's the April 19th, 1775 date. And it shouldn't be hard to get some of the local papers to run, you know, a blurb about it, and then maybe even come out and cover the event. All right. I've got some kind of a glitch in my internet service right now, which means that everything is running slow, and I've got the switchboard open, but the chat, the online chat program, is still refusing to open for me. Now, that is going to change because before this next show, this week here, we'll be upgrading to a premium package. We're going to go ahead and upgrade. The boss is going to spring for an upgrade package. I want to tell everybody that called in too, called in or emailed me, etc., saying that they wanted to help out to get the premium package. I appreciate that, but we're going to go ahead, and Fred's going to go ahead and cover that. We're going to get the upgrade so that hopefully we'll shed some of these problems, and then we'll go ahead and figure out how to get it podcast, and then we'll probably end up going to another location too, another radio location, and doing a podcast on that network. But we'll let you know all the things that are coming up about that. Right now, I think you can still go to the iTunes. There should be an iTunes icon on there, and you should be able to download the show directly into your iTunes. All right. As you know, next week we'll be having David Hackett Fisher on the program. And Dr. Fisher is the author of quite a few books on the Revolutionary War and on American history in general. He's got a lot of great books out. And if you haven't read Paul Revere's Ride, well, then you got a hole in you, because that's the book you need to read to fill that hole up. You've got a hole in you on where the information about April 19, 1775 should be. This is one of the best books that I've read on this subject, on Paul Revere and on the events on April 19, 1775. And I've read quite a few books now. I mean, once I started reading it, I just started devouring them. And there's a lot of books out there, but most of them will jump past this date. They'll do some mentioning of the date and of the events that occurred, how things, the causality of it. But this book, David Hackett Fisher's book, Paul Revere Ride, is actually one of the best books out there. I think that I was speaking to him just recently, and there's approximately a 200-year gap in the history of Paul Revere and April 19, 1775. I mean, you're gonna find that out when you start doing the searches on it. There was a lot of there's children's books. There was a movie, one of the first movies that was done in the United States. It was by Thomas Edison. It was by Thomas Edison. I believe it was around 1914 or so. And he did a movie called Paul Revere's Ride, but the movie was pretty much a direct on-screen representation of the poem. Of Paul Revere's Ride, which was had a lot of factual errors. So there was a big gap in the history until this book came along, and he did a great job on it. Now, he's got a lot of other books also. He has Washington's Crossing, and that covers the events surrounding the end of 1776 and of the attack on Trenton and Princeton that changed the look, the outcome of the Revolution. We were about to go down in flames. It was the American Revolutionary War was about to take a horrible nosedive until, in the dead of winter, on Christmas Day, they went across the Delaware, the frozen Delaware, and they walked through the night in freezing rain, in snow, in ice, without winter clothing. Many of the men barefoot, and then attacked the German garrison, and won. And then this put a charge back into the Continental Army and the Revolutionary War, and changed the thinking of it. And I believe it was probably the most important battle fought during the American Revolutionary War. He covers the events of this, of the battle there, in a great detail, and it's also a great book. And he also has Albion's Seed, which is the story of the four tribes that began America. You know, there's four main tribes that came across to New England at different time periods in history, and you can he traces these back in almost every way in the patterns of speech and their thoughts on marriage and family and working and death, religion, etc. And each one is a very distinct tribe, and they are the root of the stock of the peoples that peopled the United States. They're the folks that peopled this nation, and it's extremely interesting. As a historian, I can't imagine a book that this, I can't imagine you not wanting to read this book and to understand the reasons that we do things now the way we do them, the reasons for the customs that we have, the reasons for the ways that we talk, the work ethics the way that we bury people, the way that we feel about our elders, about the old folks, etc. This goes into an in-depth explanation of that. So he's got a lot of great books, but Paul Revere's Ride and Washington's Crossing are two of my favorites, and he'll be on this next week to discuss those. And we hope that everybody is going to be tuning in on the 16th at 7 p.m. Central, because it'll be a very great evening. Now, we have, we always have a lot of jobs that need to be filled. And I'm going to mention several of those tonight. Right now, we have the event going on out at White Sands Missile Range. We have the group of the soldiers there going through the Appleseed program and becoming masters of their rifles, as they should be in the military, and then hearing about the reasons that they're there. This is going on at the White Sands Missile Range, and we're starting to get more and more requests from guard units, reserve units, active duty units for the Appleseed program instruction. Now, each one of you listening, can be considered an ambassador to your state's guard, reserve, active duty units. We want to give you the okay and the authority to start contacting them and letting them know that we would like to work with them. Now, what we're also going to need is a person to consider stepping up and becoming a liaison between Appleseed and the military units that we're working with. So if this is something that you might consider, and you're probably going to need to have a military background, either been in the military, et cetera, so that you'll at least have an understanding of the folks and the way they do things, and then have a good understanding of the Appleseed program. So what we're going to do is we're going to ask folks, if this sounds like something that you would like to consider or you'd like to be considered for, then you can PM me on the forum, PM myself or Sam D, and actually include both of us in the PM, and we'll start going through the folks and finding a good liaison head and then a liaison team. This is going to be something that we're going to keep working on from now and into the future in the Appleseed program, because it's very important. It's very important that we render service to our community, including to the men and women in the armed forces, and give them the rifle marksmanship instruction that we can give, and then also to give them the history of America and April 19, 1775, so that they can continue to understand why they're there. All right, I still don't have the chat program open, so I can't read what's going on in there. But I'm hoping that it looks like Sam has called in. I'm going to ask him to come on, because I'm hoping that he can give me a rundown on how things are going out at White Sands. Sam?
Evening, Scout.
How are you doing this evening?
Real good, real good.
Well,
I'm afraid I can't... Oh, go ahead. I can't give too much rundown on White Sands because I'm not going to be out there working until Thursday.
Okay. All right, but you
I'm still have to do my working stiff thing.
Right. But you've got... I'm sure you've had some contact with the folks. How's it going out there?
Well, was going pretty good. I don't have a final on today. Yesterday was not real hot. They had a lot of wind and issues, late setup, late start, but had to do some negotiating with the range contractors, but they got it rolling, and today the weather was much nicer. I'm sure they didn't have any 50-mile-an-hour gusts today, and I expect when I finally get a hold of them tonight that they will have had a very good day.
Well, good. What's the weather like there right now? Right here in Texas today, it was an absolutely beautiful day.
It was about 60 degrees here and about a 5 to 10 mile an hour steady breeze all day.
Huh. Well, that sounds like a nice day for March in New Mexico.
It generally is a lot windier than it is today. And I'm hoping that it held off for them down there. One of the things about the weather here, I can be having a fantastic day, and just the other side of that hill down in White Sands, it can be wildly different.
Right, right.
That range is in the middle of a flat about 4 miles away from the closest elevation, and it doesn't take much wind to get coming across there and really raise havoc with the place.
What's the normal wind speed out there? Because I know that anytime you have like the high deserts and stuff, you have a great deal of prevailing winds. What's the normal wind speed out there?
Oh, 7 or 8 mile an hour from the south southwest during the day. When the sun comes up, we get a good strong easterly of about 20 mile an hour for an hour. And when the sun goes down, we get 15 or 20 mile an hour wind out of the west.
Right. Well, listen, did you hear my announcement earlier about the liaison?
I did.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask them to contact you and me, and we'll get start getting a team together to start handling the liaisons with the military. This is from a work board that we have up in the on the forum, and I don't know if this is something I figure that you already had enough on your plate that you may not. This may not be something that you would want to personally do. I figured we could get somebody else new that wasn't doing a whole lot to try and handle the liaison, and then help them get a team put together, and we could just advise them, but let them do the actual work on it.
Sure. The real thing is breaking the ice, getting in touch of your local unit. If you're looking at dealing with the National Guard, with the regulars, it's a little bit more difficult, but not much. And I would just literally go down to the armory on a drill weekend and get a hold of the first sergeant, take a coffee cup away from him and say, hey, you got some guys down here have a rough time qualifying? Let me help you out. And when he says, what do I do? Give him my phone number and I'll talk with him.
Right, exactly. And as I said earlier, that's each and every one of you. You don't need any special qualifications to do what Sam just mentioned. You can go down to the armory, and you can probably do it almost any day of the week. Certainly a drill weekend would be good, but usually most of the larger armories will have at least a 2 or 3 person staff that's full-time, so that somebody will be there during the day, during the week, etc. So go down. Let them know that we have a program that's available, that we're willing to bring teams in, no charge to them, turnkey operation, and help them improve the overall rifle marksmanship of their organization. Get all the folks in their unit qualified, get them up to where they can qualify. They can all improve their scores, and then get the number. All you have to do is give them Sam's number, and we'll take care of the rest. So there's really not much to it other than than just taking the time to do it. Next time you're driving down the highway and you see the armory right there on your right, or right there on your left, just go ahead and slow down. Pull, turn in. Let them know what we have, what we're offering, because this is a great deal for them and a great deal for us. As I said, we're an all-volunteer, grassroots, nonprofit organization dedicated to service. We're dedicated to providing service to our fellow Americans, and that's what we do. Every single day we're working on that. Every weekend somewhere in America, we're a service-oriented organization, and that's what we're doing. So make sure this stays up in the top of your head. Now, maybe it's going to take you two or three times of driving by before you say, okay, I'm ready to do it. But get yourself into that mode where you are ready to do it, and you go ahead and you take the time to stop in there.
I'll tell you, Scott, it's real easy. If you walk in and you got a coat with an Appleseed patch, or you're wearing an Appleseed T-shirt, just point at that statue on that patch, and then take a look at that patch that guardsman's got on his uniform.
Yep.
Because it's the same guy.
That's right.
They know who he is.
Well, yeah, you hope that they do. Sometimes they don't, but if they're sitting in there in that office, they're going to know. But this is something that we would like you guys to do. Now, and I'm saying this because I'm sure it'll get a slow start on this. I would love if everybody went out and did it tomorrow, but at the same time, that would put some pressure on us. But I know that's not going to happen. So what I'm asking you guys to do is just put this on your calendar. Say, you know what, this week, this month, at some point, I'm going to stop in at the armory. I'm going to drive by there. I'm going to pull in. I'm going to say, hey, would you guys, do you have a few seconds to speak about this? Give them your 60-second elevator speech. Have the flyer and the promo material that you have with you, have that ready. If you don't have that, just give them the appleseedinfo.org address and the Appleseed email address. And they can contact us, and we'll start working with them, and we'll get these balls rolling, because this is something that we're very interested in, and we're very determined to do, and we want to help out wherever we can. I'm really interested in hearing how the event is going there. We've got a lot of good Appleseed instructors out there. When did they get started, Sam?
Well, they started yesterday morning. They were on the range at 6:30. They had to call it off by 15:15. They had reached a point where the wind was just too far gone, but the schedule called for starting at 7:30 this morning.
All right.
In a little while, I'll get off the line and call out, and I may be able to have one of them call into the show if they're done with their AAR. I'll see if I can get them to call into the show here in a little bit.
Well, good. That's what I was hoping to do, is have one of those folks call in and let us know how it's going. And then I have a group from the Texas Guard that will be coming in 2 weeks for the Appleseed that's at the end of the Rifleman's Boot Camp. This is the... I'm not going to say a lot about it right now, but this will be a group of the folks that from the State Guard that are going to be looking at the program, and we're giving them a run through. I told them that the best time to come, of course, for them would be, well, for anybody, at the end of a rifleman's boot camp, you have you've got a fresh crop of instructors who are just bursting at the seams. Just dying to get out there and instruct. They've worked, six hard days on learning their craft, learning the skills and techniques required to shoot your rifle to rifleman standards, and then they spent several long days learning how to teach others these skills and techniques. So when Saturday comes, these guys are they're bone tired because of all the work they've put in, but they're still bursting with pride. When they put those hats on, those instructor's hats, and they get up there Saturday morning, it's like they drank five cups of coffee because they're ready to go. They're ready to teach, each and every one of them. I love the apple seeds that come up at the end of the boot camps.
I'm gonna hop off the line, and I'll try to call out to Wismer and see if I can get one or two of the guys to call in here in a bit.
Okay, that sounds great, Sam. Thanks thanks for calling in, and then as soon as you find out, just go ahead and call back in, and I'll bring you back on the line.
Okay.
All right, thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
All right, these guys are Sam has worked hard on this. He's worked hard on the White Sands Missile Range. He worked hard on the Fort Stewart, Georgia event. He's been doing a bang-up job on this. And all the while, he and the rest of the New Mexicans have been keeping New Mexico running at high speed. So Sam is just doing a bang-up job out there. Let me get the upcoming events. Let me get those read real quick so that everybody will see what we have coming up. Now, when you decide that you want to go to an Appleseed event, what you do is you go to appleseedinfo.org. That's one word, appleseedinfo, one word, .org. That's the homepage. On the homepage, you'll see a list of tabs running across the top of the page. At the far left tab says Appleseed. You put your cursor on that, it'll give you a drop-down menu. On the drop-down menu, you go to Schedule. Click on Schedule. That'll take you to the page that I'm about to read from. Now, when you're looking at the schedule, it'll be listed month by month, and then you'll see the cities and then the states that it's being held on and the dates in that of that month. Once you've decided on a location, then to the right of that location, there's two hot links. One says information. If you click on that link, it'll give you all the information for that specific event, where it's being held, the time, the hours, any special info you'll need, directions, who to contact for more information, etc. Right next to that is another link that says register. Now, when you get ready to go to one of these events, what we'd like you to do, and I don't care if it's a year away, click on the register, which takes you to the registration page, which is the Eventbrite page. They do the registrations for us, and pre-register. That does two things. The first thing it does is it makes sure that you have a spot on the line when you get there. You've pre-registered, so your spot is guaranteed. The other thing it does is it lets us know that you're coming. So that's how we base who to send, how much gear to send, etc., how many instructors, and this needs to be done in a timely fashion because we've got to get all the instructors out to all the different locations across the United States. We've got to get all the supplies shipped out, hundreds and hundreds of boxes of supplies every month shipped out across the United States, hundreds of airline tickets, of hotels, rental cars, etc., to make sure that we have the instructors in place. And it helps us out if you pre-register so that we know how many folks are going to be at a certain event so that we can schedule the proper amount of instructors, get the right amount of supplies, et cetera, set up for the event. Also, there have been a few times when the events have sold out, and that would have been it, except we saw the pre-registration numbers climbing, and we knew that it was going to sell out way before the event, and that gave us time to try and secure additional line space. So we actually ended up securing more space by renting out another bay at one time, renting out a different range on the other side of town another time. But we're never, that's never going to happen if we don't know that we need to do it. And the only way we're going to know we need to do it is by you pre-registering. So please, once you've decided you want to attend an event, don't wait till the last second. You might wait till the last second, and you might drive out there and they say, man, we're filled up. That's not going to be good. So make sure that you go ahead and you pre-register. You get you a place on the line, and then we'll have the correct number of instructors there. If at all possible, if the event is selling out, we'll try and secure additional line for the shooters. But we won't be able to do that unless you pre-register. So make sure that you take a look at the events you want to attend. Once you've decided you want to attend one, hit the register for the event button and register. Even if you're attending free, if you're active duty, et cetera, we still need to know that you're coming. And just because we're not charging you, if you're a female or active duty, guard, reserve, et cetera, it doesn't mean that you're going to be able to get on the line if we don't have the space for it. So make sure that you pre-register. All right. For March, we'll start off the weekend of March 13th and 14th with Birmingham, Alabama, followed by Farmington, New Mexico, Henderson, Minnesota, Racine, Wisconsin, Williamstown, Michigan. That brings us to the weekend of March 20th, 21st, which starts off in Augusta, Georgia, followed by Canton, Mississippi, Colebrook, Connecticut, Corpus Christi, Texas, Davila, Texas. That's the event that I was just telling you about, the end of the boot camp event. Escondido, California, March 20th, 21st, Lancaster, Ohio, Lobelville, Tennessee, Mannheim, Pennsylvania, Osage Beach, Missouri, Piru, California, Sacramento, California, Stinson, West Virginia, Yanceyville, North Carolina. All right, that brings us to the weekend of March 27th, 28th. That's the Amarillo, Texas event at the indoor location. That's followed by Buckeye, Arizona, Evansville, Indiana, Miamisburg, Ohio, Ramseur, North Carolina. That brings us to April, the first weekend in April. We have Bates City, Montana, Lewiston, Idaho, Crittenden, Kentucky will bring us to the April 10th and 11th weekend, followed by Las Cruces, New Mexico, Albion, New York starts off the April 17th and 18th weekend. This is the first of the events that we're having to celebrate the April 19th, 1775. All right, you guys ready? I did this last week, so you know it's time to go get some coffee. Settle in, because this is a long list. I'm really, really proud of this. I'm really, really proud of this, because it was just yesterday in my mind that we decided to have an April 19th weekend event. And we said, oh man, how are we going to do this? How many can we get? How many can we get for this this first weekend? And it was just a few. It was just a few. And now we're right at almost 100 events. 100. It's just amazing to me that we're doing this many in one weekend across the United States. And the only thing more amazing to me than this is the fact that it's going to keep growing. That someday soon in the future, I can envision a weekend where we have 200 shoots, 300 shoots in one weekend. In one weekend across the United States, thousands upon thousands of men, women and children, firing simultaneous volleys across the nation in honor of those men and women who gathered together on April 19, 1775, at Lexington, at the North Bridge in Concord, along Battle Road back to Boston. Simultaneous volleys across the nation, honoring them. Well, let's get started. The event to kick it off would be Albion, New York; Almonds, Pennsylvania; Alton, Illinois; Athens, Ohio; Beckley, West Virginia; Bennington, Vermont; Bonfield, Illinois; Botno, North Dakota; Boulder City, Nevada; Brighton, Colorado; Broken Bow, Nebraska; Buckingham, Virginia; Burlington Flats, New York; Calverton, New York; Canton, Mississippi; Carrollton, Kentucky; Castle Rock, Washington; Castro Valley, California; Chambersburg, Pennsylvania; Cloverdale, Indiana; Coeur d'Alene, Idaho; College Station, Texas; Columbia, Columbiana, Alabama; Corona, California; Corpus Christi, Texas; Custer, South Dakota; Dalton, New Hampshire; Davila, Texas; Duluth, Minnesota; Durand, Illinois; Elbridge, New York; Elk River, Minnesota; Eureka, California; Evansville, Indiana; Fenton, Michigan; Fort Wayne, Indiana; Fountain, Colorado; Gainesville, Florida; Granville, Oklahoma; Gunnison, Colorado; Hartford, Connecticut; Harvard, Maine; Hernando County, Florida; Holderness, New Hampshire; Hubertus, Wyoming; Hubertus, Wisconsin; Kimmermere, Wyoming; Kingsport, Tennessee; Knob Creek, Kentucky; Lemoore, California; Lobelville, Tennessee; Lodi, Wisconsin; Manchester, Tennessee; Mannheim, Pennsylvania; Maynardville, Tennessee; Miamisburg, Ohio; Middlebury, Vermont; Midland, Texas; Montrose, Indiana, or Iowa; Mayaca City, Florida; New Bremen, New York; New Philadelphia, Ohio; North Little Rock, Arkansas; Osage Beach, Missouri; Payson, Arizona; Pelham, New Hampshire; Peterborough, New Hampshire; Piru, California; Perrier, Tennessee; Ramsar, North Carolina; Raton, New Mexico; Red Bluff, California; Ridgecrest, California; Rochester, Minnesota; Roswell, New Mexico; Sacramento, California; St. Augustine, Florida; San Luis Obispo, California; Santa Barbara, California; Sarasota Springs, New York; Sherburn, Louisiana; Sierra Vista, Arizona; Spooner, Wisconsin; Stinson, West Virginia; Suwamico, Wisconsin; Three Forks, Montana; Vienna, Ohio; Virginia Beach, Virginia; Washburn, Missouri; Waterman, Illinois; Weatherby, Missouri; Williamstown, Missouri; Winslow, New Jersey; Yanceyville, North Carolina. Wow. Just think about that for a minute. That is a lot of events. Nobody's ever done that before. Nobody's ever run that many events across the nation simultaneously. Nobody has ever gathered Americans together to teach them about their history, to teach them about what it means to be an American. put that many folks together on a firing line across the United States at one time, ask them to fire simultaneous volleys in honor of the men who had fallen at Lexington Green. Nobody's done that before. You guys are all involved in making history. All right. If you'd like to call in, the number is 347-308-8790. 347-308-8790. If you have any questions about this next weekend, this next week, then we'd like you to call in and give us those questions. What I'm talking about is the second strike of the virtual muster night. You remember just recently we had the first strike of the virtual muster night. We had a large group of folks who logged onto the forum at one time, and we got a huge amount done. We got a lot of information out to people. We had a lot of people listening to the radio show. It was a really great evening. Now, we'd like to do that again, and we would like to get more people this time. We'd like to break the last record that we had, which was, let me take a peek here, but, okay, 479 was the number of folks it recorded, and that's because they were all online at the same time. Now, I think altogether there are around 700 to 800 people that were on the forum as unique users. That means that there were 700 to 800 folks who had logged onto the forum that night to check in at the virtual muster. And I don't think that we should have a problem in beating that this next time. That will be this next Tuesday from 7 to 10:30. We're asking everyone to put that on your calendar and make sure that it'll be 7 p.m. Central Time to 10:30 p.m. Central Time. Make sure that you put that on your calendar so that you can log in and get counted by your state as, just log into your state board and just post, and I'm here, so that they can count you as their individual, for each of the individual states. And then get you a cup of coffee. Use this time to check the post that you haven't seen, to answer PMs, to read up on the stuff that you're going to need for this coming April 19th, to check the schedule of events, check the instructor's board, make sure that you are signed up for the events, and not just for the events that month, but go ahead and look out into the future and schedule yourself for the rest of the year. Make sure that, because if there's something happens and you can't make it, well, we can always find somebody to replace you, but try and find the events that you can handle during the upcoming year and go ahead and get scheduled for those. Then, right around 8 o'clock or so, we'll have Dr. Fisher on, David Hackett Fisher. He'll be on the radio show as our guest, and we would like everybody to be listening to the things that he has to say about Paul Revere's Ride, about the book that we use as our textbook for instructing the history of that day, of the events of that day. I just got a case of the Paul Revere's Ride books from Rifle Woman today in the mail. I asked her if she would send me a case so I could have some ready for all of the boot camp guys. And And even though they were all the same book, and it was all Paul Revere's ride, there's something about that book. You know, I opened up the box and took a look at them, and they were just as sweet as could be. Of course, I wouldn't trade them for mine, because mine has all the notes written in the margins and the highlights and everything else. I've already spent a great deal of time making those notations in it and making the writing the explanations in the margins and stuff. But they sure are pretty when they're new. Okay, I still don't have the chat open, so I'm just assuming it's running well. We've got another caller I'm going to take right now, area code 712. You're on the air. Can you hear me? Area code 712-249. All right. Well, don't hang up. I'm not going to drag you on here. But if you do want to call in, go ahead and call in at 347-308-8790. 347-308-8790, and we'll get you on the air. Sam said he's going to contact the White Sands folks and get one of them to call in. Now, next week, we'll also have the traditional boot camp radio show where we'll have the all the folks in the boot camp. We all come up to the front porch here on the house, and my wife will give us some snacks and stuff and coffee and sodas, and we'll do a live report from the Davila Rifleman's Boot Camp. And those are always great because it gives the folks who are attending the Rifleman's Boot Camp a chance to talk about what they've just gone through or what they're going through then and there. And listen, if you've been to a Rifleman's Boot Camp or even to an Appleseed, I don't have to tell you that it's not just a rifle marksmanship event, and it's not a social event. It's not it's none of those, and it's all of those. When you go to an Appleseed rifle marksmanship event, whether it's a 2-day event or the 8-day boot camp, on the 2-day event, if you're standing there on Sunday evening listening to the benediction, then you know in your heart that your life has changed. Your life has been changed by the event. Now, how much has changed is always an individual thing. I mean, it's not like you shave your head and put on a monk's robe and you've changed that much, but inwardly, you might have. Going to an Appleseed event changes your life. Not because of the rifle marksmanship, and not just because you stood on the line shoulder to shoulder with the best of your fellow Americans that the nation has to offer. It's because somehow, somewhere, something in you decided to flip a switch, to make a change in your life, in your destiny. And you ended up at an Appleseed event. That was the very first step you took. Then you set yourself a goal of improving your rifle marksmanship skills. And during the course of the 2-day event or the 8-day boot camp, you met or exceeded that goal. So you set yourself a goal, you met it, and you exceeded it. And then the next thing that happened inside your mind, inside your heart, is you ask yourself, what next? What can I do next? That's the that is the refrain that I hear from almost every person on after the benediction on Sunday. What next? What can I do next? Not for just themselves and not for the Appleseed program. They're asking, what can I do next to make myself a better person, to make my home a better home, my family a better family, my community a better community, my state a better state, my nation a better nation. What's next? What can I do? That's how lives are changed. It awakens the sleeping American inside each person in this nation. It awakens the sleeping American whenever you attend an event. And I tell the folks when they attend an event, you got, from this point on, there are 1,000 paths that radiate from you in all directions. But there's only 2 choices that you can make. One, you know, and I don't want to joke about this, but it's almost like it's almost like that scene in The Matrix when they have the guy is holding a pill in each hand, and you can make the decision to go back home, get back on the couch, get the remote back in your hand, to completely deny the fact that you have a sacred obligation to safeguard the freedoms and liberties the Founding Fathers left in your care, that all is well, all is good, all is fine, and you can put your head back in the sand. Or you can realize that your nation needs you. Your nation needs you to fulfill your sacred obligation in safeguarding those freedoms and those liberties, in maintaining the American Revolution. And by American Revolution, I don't mean the Revolutionary War. I don't mean thinking that you're going to have to go and fight somewhere, because that's not the American Revolution. The American Revolutionary War and the American Revolution are 2 different things. The American Revolutionary War had a beginning and an ending. The American Revolution was never designed to end. The American Revolution was designed to be a continuously expanding experiment in individual and national freedoms and liberties. So if you make the decision not to go home, not to put your head back in the sand, not to get back on the couch with a remote in your hand, then a whole different world has opened up for you. A whole new way of life. You know, when I tell the guys, when I talk to them, when they get their rifleman's patch, when they shoot 210 or above on the AQT, the AQT is just a diagnostic tool. There's nothing magical about it. It's just a diagnostic tool. It's a way for us to determine whether or not you're understanding and using the skills and techniques that we've been giving you. So scoring 210 or above on the AQT does not instantly make you a rifleman. It means that you have qualified to rifleman standards as far as firing your rifle. But what it does do is it gives you the key to begin leading the life of a rifleman. To leading the life of a rifleman. You know, two weeks ago, we had Jack Spurko from Survival Podcast on the show. And he talked about a rifleman's duty to be prepared for any and all eventualities. Well, the idea we were trying to get across, that myself and Jack were trying to get across, is that you don't do this. You don't do this all at once, or thinking that I'm going to have to change my life and start preparing for event X, Y, or Z. That's not what you do. What you do is you start living the lifestyle of being prepared. The same way with living the lifestyle of a rifleman. As a rifleman, you're thinking every single day about how to make yourself better, how to be a better person, how to be a better teacher, and moving on the seventh step, which is bringing the ideas and the missions and goals of Appleseed to others. How to have a better home, how to have a better family, a better community, a better state, a better nation. That's always at the top of your list, at the top of your priorities as a rifleman. You're living the life of a rifleman. And it doesn't mean that you're doing something extra special and different so that you have to stop everything else you're doing or quit your job, et cetera, et cetera. You don't do that. You just incorporate leading the life of a rifleman into your normal life. The same way that you, if you're living in a preparation, in a survival preparation type lifestyle, the same way that you go and you buy food and you store food and you stock food, extra food, you don't lock that stuff in your basement or in a big box and never open it and say, well, this is only to be used in the event of an emergency. Because what will happen is you'll get to that that day that you need it. You'll open the box up, and those cans will be burst open or ruined or out of date. They'll be no good. What you do instead is you eat out of that lot, and then you keep replacing it. So that if there is some type of event, your food is there ready and fresh and ready to go, and you didn't have to rush out and buy everything at once, because during the course of the year, every time you went to the store, you bought a little extra of this, a little extra of that, and you stored it away. A little extra, a little bit at a time, because you were leading the life of a plan of surviving. The same way that you're going to be leading the life of a rifleman. It's not going to require you to stop everything you're doing. It just requires you to keep that uppermost in your mind. That today I'm going to talk to another person about becoming a member of the Appleseed Project. I'm going to talk to another person about coming to an event, learning how to become the master of their rifle, and understanding what it means to be an American. Every day you're incorporating a little bit more of that into your life, and a little bit more. That's what I'm talking about. Being a rifleman, leading the life of a rifleman, is a lifestyle. And I got to tell you, it's a very rewarding one. Yeah, it's a lot of work. You bet it is. I already got a regular job, and my regular job is it's not a 9-to-5. My regular job already cost me 50, 60, 70, 80 hours a week, and I'm putting this on top of it. And I ask a lot from my family. I ask a lot from them because I'm gone a lot from them in teaching, instructing. I sacrifice the money I would normally make on those weekends because I work 7 days a week. I sacrifice the money I would make on those weekends in order to instruct. And why? Because I think it's important. And why is it important? Because as a rifleman, you want to leave the world better than you got it. You want to make sure that when you hand off the nation, that you hand off to those who came after you, who come after you, to your kids, your grandkids, to your great-grandkids, to those millions of people you'll never, ever meet. The millions who will come after you long after you're dead, that you left them a better nation than what you got. The nation you got that was handed to you, you took a water hose, you washed it off, and then you scrubbed it, and then you got out the a rag and some Brasso, and you polished it, and then you oiled it, and then you kept it out of the weather, out of the elements. You took care of it so that you can hand it to those who came after you as a better nation. You didn't allow it to get rusty. You didn't allow holes to wear in it. You didn't allow pieces of it to break off and get lost. You safeguarded it. You treasured it. And then you handed it to those who came after, telling them what they had to do in order to safeguard it. All right, let's take I'm going to take another caller in just a second here. I told you my my switchboard, my internet, for some reason is really slow this evening, and. And I'm wondering if it's even okay. Hold on just a second. All right. Okay. All right. Let's take another caller now. Area code 503. You're on the air.
Hi, Scout. It's Karen.
Hey, how are you doing?
Fine. Fine. I know you got another call waiting, and I didn't want to take up anybody's time.
Well, you
but,
no, listen. You talk. You let's hear what you got to say. We've got plenty of time.
Okay. Well, I think I don't know when I caught your show, but the Rifleman logo caught my eye one night, and I don't know if it was your first show or second show. I think I was the only one in the room, and you were telling the story about sitting out in front of the feed store, you know, and picking up the pamphlet from Appleseed off the, you know, floor of the truck.
Right.
You know, something had been floating around for months, and that was just the best story, you know, I ever heard. And then you started into the, you know, I remember about the rowboat, you know, going down the dark side of the river, and you know, just the history was so wonderful. You know, and it just made me proud, and I thought, you know, that's what we're missing. We're not getting taught that any longer. Our kids are being taught gayness, you know, in school.
Yeah.
Not American pride.
Yeah, I don't understand that, you know, and I keep asking myself why, what's going on, but to be perfectly honest, the whys are kind of immaterial because it's happening.
So what are you going to do about it?
That's
the thing.
That's what you need to is to focus on is what are you going to do about it? And you can't take the tack that, well, I'm just one person and I can't do anything, because that's exactly all that is needed for evil to win is for good men to do nothing. And
exactly.
That's what happens to a great deal over and over again in the history of this nation, is that people did nothing until it got to the point where the camel's back was broken and they had to do something. And we don't want to go that far. We don't want to wait that long. Let's fix it while it only takes an ounce to fix it instead of a pound.
Well,
and
you made a good point last week when you said, you know, when you served your time, you did your 6 years, I'm done, I'm good, I pat myself on the back. But then you realize, no, you're not done. It's never done.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You can't, I don't see it any different. You know, I'm sure you guys know that I've got 5 young daughters. And
yes.
And the way that I look at it is, you know, in a few years, the first one is going to cross over that magical line into adulthood, you know, in about 5 years. And when that happens, you know, I can't imagine saying, all right, she's done 18 years. I think that's as long as anyone should have to be a parent, and I'm done. The rest of you guys, figure it out on your own.
It won't happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, it doesn't work that way. And it can't work that way with your obligation, with your duty to the nation either. I don't care how long you've served or what you've done. There's always room for more. There's always, as long as we still have this nation, and God willing, it will stretch on, and the American Revolution will continue into the infinite future. But there is no end to your service to your nation. There's no end. You're never through. There's always something more, because your service to your nation is not just to your nation any more than a watermelon vine. You know, if you your duty, when you cut that vine, every watermelon on the vine dies. They all go. They're all dead. Your duty to your nation is intertwined with your duty to yourself, to your family, your community, your state. It's all intertwined, and your service to yourself and your family and your nation can never end.
Exactly. You never stop being a parent. You should never stop being a citizen.
And Karen, I want to thank you too, because you've been a friend to the show since day one. Matter of fact, I think you were probably the only one listening on that first show. And
I don't know, but it was such a great show, and it's had me coming back. And I do have, you know, a small ranch out in Eastern Washington, and God willing, if I ever can get back there, I would love to have a permanent range out there.
Well, whenever you do get there, you let us know, because you get there and we will come. We will help you build it, and we'll do everything with all turnkey operation. We will make it happen. So
yeah,
whenever when you get back out there, you let us know.
Yeah, I'm only about 40 miles from Spokane, about maybe by road 50 miles from Idaho. So there's a whole big area up there that needs something.
Well, where are you now?
I'm down near Portland, Oregon.
Well, what's keeping you there instead of on the ranch?
Well, my job right now.
Oh, well, get rid of that job.
I wish. I wish. I'm afraid I'm one of those people that has to have a job. And it's just not a good time to, you know, go somewhere without one and hope.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely not. I understand completely. I mean, you know, I work for myself, and, of course, I have people all the time saying, well, you know, for me to go and do an event or to go somewhere or do something, because I'm working with the animals and stuff, that I can't just punch out. It's just me. And with biologicals, you can't just put them on the shelf and say, go into the sleep mode until I get back.
Exactly. They get mad at you. You know that now, right?
Yeah, that could be an Orwellian-type revolt if I did that. So I understand.
Yeah, well, I grew up, you know, I grew up the same way. I was, you know, we got up, you know, we went to school early, you know, and then we got home. You know, we didn't sit down in front of the TV or grab the Xbox or, you know, or get on a text messaging thing. And, you know, we were off changing pipe. You know, we didn't even have the electronic, you know, irrigation pipe. We moved them one at a time for the alfalfa. And we were out in the winter, you know, checking on calves. you know, it was just nonstop till dinner, and then after dinner you were in the barn.
Right. Right. Oh, yeah. And
nobody knows what it's like anymore. They just don't have to work that hard, and they complain about everything.
Well, you know, we talk about it in the program here. We talk about we're not asking people to make huge sacrifices. We're not asking people to stand together in ranks, armed and ready, on Lexington Green, and just by virtue of the fact that they're standing there, that they could very well have a death sentence proclaimed on them. We're not asking people to go through all winter long without food, without winter clothes, without shoes, to march hundreds of miles barefoot on the snow and ice. And listen, they did that. They did that. We're not asking you to do any of that. We're not asking you to get shot at or get shot by British regulars in a time when there was no 911, there was no life flight, there were no hospitals or doctors. We're not asking you to do that. Here's what we're asking you to do. We're asking you to commit yourself to go to a two-day course, a weekend course. Heck, you can stay in a hotel while you're there. You're going to shoot something that you probably like to do anyway. You're going to be in the company of other folks just like you, the best folks the nation has to offer. So, heck, I'm telling you, if the folks back in 1775 had that option, if they said, okay, option one, we're all going to go over to Lexington Green just to start out. We're going to go over there, and we're going to stand there while they shoot at us. And, yeah, some of us are going to get hit by walnut-sized chunks of lead, and, yeah, it's going to be awfully painful. Yeah, I don't want to think about that. Then we're going to keep on fighting for another eight long bloody years. Okay, that's option one. Okay, everybody square away on that. Let's think about that. Okay, option two. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to a weekend event with some of our friends. We're going to shoot our muskets. We're going to eat some barbecue or some sandwiches. We're going to tell stories about the history, and we're going to meet with some of the best Americans that the nation has to offer. All right, let's compare and contrast those two, and let's figure out which one we think we should do. I mean, I think the answer is very obvious, and yet it's like pulling teeth at times to get people to do this. And I'm sure that I understand part of it, and that is when I was talking to the folks about earlier, and that is if you open your mind up to it, if you realize that you have a sacred duty, a sacred obligation to the nation, then you have to make a commitment to do something about it. And I think that scares a lot of folks.
Well, it's just a choice. You want to die standing or kneeling?
Right. Well, listen, Karen, I really appreciate all that you do every week for the show.
It's my honor.
Did you?
I'll let you go. I know there's somebody else on the line.
Well, did the chat open up? Is the chat going on?
Yeah, chat's doing fine. That's what I actually called to tell you.
Okay.
Chat's doing fine. We're doing great in there.
Well, like I said, we're going to have we're going to get the upgrade package this week, and I believe that has a lot of stuff that goes with it. More bandwidth. I think it has
satellite internet, right?
Yes, I have satellite. Yes.
Yeah, satellite is kind of touchy. You know, so what happens to you doesn't happen necessarily to everybody. So sometimes I don't know that the upgrade is all that important.
It also allows a lot of other things.
Other interactions.
I think it. They also give us like 5,000 widgets a month for promotion,
cool.
and it would allow me to have 50 callers. On and on. There's a lot more stuff that I can do.
Oh, yeah.
More stuff, photographs and stuff I can upload to the program. So I'm hoping that it's going to be a plus. I mean, I know it'll be a plus. I hope it'll and I hope it'll solve some of the problems. But Karen, thank you so much for all you do every week.
Oh, well, you're very welcome. It's an honor to me.
And
thank
you call
you.
Us as soon as you get your you get back on the farm there.
Not to worry. Good night.
All right. Okay, that was Karen O. I'm sure if you've listened to the show or if you've gone into the online chat that follows it, then you know she is a regular, and we sure depend on her every week. She does she helps out with the show tremendously. All right, area code 813-335. You're on the air.
Let's go. You got me.
I got you. Who's this?
All right, it's an SKS.
Hey, Eric. How you doing, Eric?
Doing pretty good. How you been?
I've been dandy. Did you get the Dennis?
Man, you know, I still haven't been able to get in touch with those guys at Talk Radio.
Okay, well, listen, you've got my number, so my telephone number and stuff. Make sure and give me a call tomorrow, and let's get this hammered out for sure.
I'd really like to get in touch with them to touch base about getting some advertising and perhaps even do an interview with them.
Well, that was
down
that
there
was
at
the whole
office.
Point of, yeah, that was the whole point of this. I asked him to please what you guys were supposed to do with this. And listen, I'm going to tell you, everybody that's listening, that you can do the same thing with your local radio station. But the guy from the Tampa radio show, he wants to go to the Appleseed, and we decided that the April 17th to 18th event at it's escaping me. It starts with an M. Manatee. The Manatee rifle range there would be the best one for him. So he was supposed to bring you on, and you guys were going to start doing the prep, where you're going to discuss what you need to do to prepare for an Appleseed event. And then you guys were going to end up going to the event. He was going to do the event there, and then he'd come back and do the report on the Appleseed event. So that's what is supposed to be happening. So I'll get in touch with him again tomorrow, and then you and I will both get in touch, and then all three of us will talk about this and make sure that we're back on track for it.
Yeah, what I really want to do is go right down there to the office, meet the guy, and, you know, walk him through, you know, the six steps, tell him the history, you know, make sure that he's got everything in hand already so that he's 100% prepared for an event, like I wish I would have been for my first event.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
it's one thing to read Fred's Guide to Becoming a Rifleman. It's another thing altogether to actually put it into practice. And, you know, that's the best thing I've got going as far as, you know, attending an event. That's the best thing you get out of it, aside from the history and knowing what it means to be a rifleman in today's society, knowing what the duty as an American is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it sure helps a lot. Like you said, you can go to the program, the Appleseed program, it was originally designed so that folks could order Fred's Guide to Becoming a Rifleman, order the targets, all the AQTs, et cetera, and then get down and dirty and work themselves into to being able to shoot the rifleman standards. And you can do that. You can. But it's not a whole lot different than saying, you know what, I'm going to, and this is for a person that doesn't have a good mathematical background. Maybe you had 1 year of algebra. You say, you know what, I decided I want to learn calculus. And you go to the bookstore and you get the calculus book, and you just start doing the problems. That's a good analogy for that, because it's going to be hard. So the best thing you can do is go ahead, get Fred's Guide to Becoming a Rifleman, get you some targets and start shooting them. Start learning the six steps to firing the shot. There are three basic things that we teach you at an Appleseed as far as when we're shooting. three basic things that we will give you instruction in. And you can, I tell the folks that if they're computer folks, then go ahead and pop open three file folders, because everything we're going to teach you is going to go in one of the three file folders. The first one being how to build a stable shooting position. You have to have a stable shooting position in order to fire the shot. The next thing you're going to learn is how to determine your natural point of aim and then how to shift it onto the target. And the third and final thing we're going to teach you is how to fire the shot by the stick, six steps. Now, there's a lot more that you're going to learn in each of those three categories, but those are going to be the three categories that you learn out of. And the only way to get a jump on learning calculus is to go to an Appleseed and have the instructors there present the information to you and then run you through it in the drills and stuff that we have. Now, as I said earlier, I was talking to a person coming to the Rifleman's Boot Camp this week. And when I was explaining this stuff to him, I said, you know, the skills and techniques that we teach here at the Appleseed Project are not, these aren't some things that we sat around a campfire and dreamed up and just said, hey, what about this? Let's have the people build a steady shooting position to shoot from. What about that? This is all stuff that has been distilled down through 400 years of firearms shooting.
That's absolutely right. There was no need to reinvent the wheel. The wheel had already been made, perfected. All we had to do is knock the dust off of it and figure out a way to distill it down to something that we could teach in 2 days.
Right. We have just put it into an easily teachable, I say easily teachable, it's easy now. After doing about 30 or 40 Appleseeds, it's starting to get kind of easier. But what we've done is we've distilled it down into a course that we can teach. We didn't come up with this stuff. This is tried and true, rock hard, solid skills and techniques that have been distilled down through 400 years of shooting and billions of rounds. So this isn't some new fangled technique we're going to teach you. We're going to teach you the fundamentals of rifle marksmanship at these events.
Scout, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag here a little bit, but this past weekend, all of the Florida instructors got together on a 600-yard rifle range and shot a full-distance AQT. We turned it into essentially an instructor boot camp or a rifleman's boot camp for instructors. Many of the instructors, myself included, had never had the opportunity to shoot at distance beyond 200 yards. Seeing those targets, that full-size D target at 400, 500, and 600 yards was amazing. What was even more amazing is watching hits on target at 600 yards using a rack-grade rifle, ball ammunition, and a USGI sling.
Oh yeah, there's nothing better than having all of the stuff validated, having all these skills and techniques validated, whenever you shoot the actual distance. And I'll tell folks another thing is that before we go over to do the actual distance, I said, look, you're going to be very happily surprised when you see that D target at 400 yards. It's going to be bigger than the 400-yard simulated target at 25 meters. It's going to be easier to hit because it's going to look bigger to you. And you're actually shooting the actual distance is going to be easier than shooting at the 25-meter. And a lot of times people don't believe that, but they're always pleasantly surprised when they do. The other thing is that when you shoot at 25 meters, you zero that rifle in, and you shoot at 25 meters, you're ready to go. And say you've got your M14, your 30-06, whatever 30 caliber battle rifle you have. You take that rifle straight over to the actual distance, and without touching any of the knobs, You shoot from the 200-yard position, and all your rounds impact in the black on the target. That's another thing that folks never expected. You know, they're always surprised and shocked at that.
Yeah, it's amazing. If you can keep five hits into a one-inch square at 25 yards, it's amazingly easy to do the same thing at 100 yards.
Well, I'm glad
just on a four-inch square.
I'm glad you guys did that because what we're starting to do now is one of the things. And you look at the Appleseed program is constantly, you know, it's constantly changing, constantly trying to better itself. And one of the things that we're doing is we're making sure now that all of the instructors, we would like all of the instructors during the course of this year to schedule themselves for a range that has the actual distance, because we want all of the instructors to make sure that they are qualified at an actual distance range, that you've shot the AQT and scored. Here's another thing. On the actual distance, you only have to score 200 points on the AQT to get your rifle.
With how easy it is, make it 220. I'm not kidding.
Well, we want
if you can score 210 on a 25-yard target, you can easily score 220 on a full-distance target. The only thing that you've got to perfect at that point is your gauge and adjustment for the wind.
That's right. Well, we want all of the instructors to start scheduling themselves at some point during the year this year. We'd like them to figure out a way to rotate through one of the actual distance ranges and get all of the folks qualified at actual distance.
Well, if you're in one of the southeast states and you don't have a range capable, come on down to Florida. We've got a 600-yard range here, and I'm working on getting more events scheduled.
Well, that
and
sounds
I'm
great.
Hoping to create a two-day full-distance clinic for Appleseed attendees that have scored riflemen.
We don't have a
lot of ranges here that we can do a full-distance AQT, so I'm going to have to make it, set the bar a little higher. You score riflemen at one of our 25-meter events, and you're invited to our full-distance event.
There you go. That's perfect. That's what we'd like folks to do. And then spend a day at the actual distance, shooting at the actual distance, and then getting all that data recorded for your rifles and understanding that it does transfer directly over. Well, it sounds like you guys are doing a great job. And be sure and give me a call tomorrow so that we can get the stuff worked out with Dennis at 8:20 a.m. in Tampa, and then get you guys together.
Yeah, we've got about a month to, maybe a little over a month to go before our next Appleseed here in Florida, so I want to make sure he's up to speed and ready to have a great event.
Right.
So.
All right. Well, you got anything else?
No, that's it. I want to thank you for all the work you've been doing on behalf of Appleseed. These radio shows have been one of the highlights of my week. Any week that I don't have an Appleseed, I ensure that I'm tuned right into your show.
Well, thank you very much. And listen, I'll tell you guys too another thing. We're getting ready to move out to AM radio.
Outstanding.
Yeah, we're going to start out in Phoenix, Arizona, and we'll be at KFNX in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be sharing the airwaves with Dr. Laura Ingram, Neil Bortz, and we'll be doing a one-hour weekly show in Phoenix, Arizona. That should be starting up probably in the next 30 days or so.
Well, I hope to see it syndicated to Tampa here real soon.
Well, it'll be streaming too, so you can always you can go to KFNX and click on the link there and listen to the show there, and then hopefully we'll spread out from there, but. That's coming up too, and thank you, Eric, for all the hard work you've done there in Florida, because it's really showing. And we'll look for you. I'll look for you to call me tomorrow, and we'll get this worked out.
Count on it.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and be sure and be here next week, next Tuesday, for Dr. Fisher's interview and for the virtual muster.
Wouldn't
night.
Miss it.
All
you
right.
Have a great
thank
evening,
you,
Scott. I'll catch you on the chat room.
All right. Yes, folks, remember that this coming weekend, this coming week, is the second strike of the virtual muster. So we want everybody to put that on their calendars. Make sure that they check in Tuesday night, the 16th. Make sure that you check in during the night with your state board and just go through the same thing we did last time. Check in, pick up any jobs that you need, any scheduling, any information. Make a night of it. Put on a pot of coffee and listen to the radio show we'll be doing with Dr. Fisher and answer your PMs and do some posting and just make an online night of it for the virtual muster. We're going to be gearing ourselves up for the April 19th events, and we'd like to make sure that everybody checks in this next Tuesday night. All right, area code 580. Chris, is this you? Can you
hear
me?
Yeah.
580-278, who is this?
It's OG.
Okay, I thought it was. How are you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. We just finally finished up this last weekend shooting in Oklahoma City. Well, boy, I never would have thought that would have happened the way it happened. That was phenomenal. I could not believe the turnout, even with the weather.
Really? How many folks did you have?
Well, almost 60. And just as many, I think it was like 30-something the next day just because of the weather. But
right.
Yeah, it was pretty neat.
Well, congratulations. And that was your first event, right?
At that location. But no, that's not my first event. That was the first event that we actually got to have NRA pull pits so we could actually run a real fast KD range and everybody could actually see exactly what the rifles would do. So, yeah, it was pretty neat being a master of puppets when you call in a correction in MOA and they can convert it onto their rifles and drop rounds straight into the V every time. So it was pretty neat.
Wow. Yeah, you know, you're always lucky to have a location that has a pit and stuff. I've only worked at a couple of them. One was in Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the 600 yards with the pits and stuff. And boy, it was great. It was really,
yeah,
really good. Let's see. There was something about that, though. What did I do? Oh, I know what it was. You know, I carry my Garand with
mm-hmm.
I carry it with the sights run all the way down to protect it.
Right.
And it was a rush, and I was actually going to shoot at this one. You know, we told all the instructors, you know, get down and shoot too. And what was it? Anyway, I wasn't going to shoot. That's what it was. I wasn't going to shoot. But we ended up with another instructor that was going to help run the line and stuff. So Nickel said, all right, let's go. You know, go ahead. You know, you get on the line, Scout. Got on the line, whipped the rifle out of the bag, and started shooting.
Yep.
And I could not understand what was wrong. Until I realized that I had never run my sights back up. So that's you know, another lesson learned is you gotta run your sights back up. You know, if you keep them down, you gotta run them back up.
Well, that's what was nice about for the Oklahoma cadre, though, is that this will be the second time in a year that we've been able to run KD successfully, and just as much for the instructors as the students, there was so much information taken away from it.
Well, how are you healing up?
Oh, pretty good. I was kind of a little worried for the weather by Sunday afternoon, but I think that was because of the good Oklahoma weather of starting off cold and wet and then blowing in with the sunny and windy weather. So we were all kind of a little wore out come Sunday afternoon.
Well, good. Like I told you, I said your name's up on the prayer board at church, and we pray for you three times a week. So,
well, quit praying for me. You already threw a green hat my way, and boy, oh boy, now I got to run with it.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier. I said that was your first event as a shoot boss.
No, it wasn't. We actually went to Pittsburgh, Kansas at a drop of a hat. due to the fact that the Pittsburgh area didn't have any cadre available, and three of us that were red hats and ITTs drove straight up into Pittsburgh, Kansas, and dropped everything we had and made that event as a first-time opening event run without problem. Now Pittsburgh has taken over, and now it's their show. If they need us, all they got to do is call us, though.
Well, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
That is really great. What's your next one? What's your next event?
April 19th, if once that pans out, then we're going to do probably the Salisaw in May sometime, and then a few more before the heat really kicks in. But just going to be like one every other month, it seems like now, if not once a month.
Okay. And did you talk it over with Mrs. Olgrunt and get the clearance to come down?
Well, yeah, well, the thing is that I thought I owned a Smith & Wesson AR. Now I know I just bought it for somebody else.
Well, that's always a pleasant thing. You know?
Yeah, that was my aim point, I thought. Now it's hers.
Well, that's good, because now they can't gripe about it. You say, "Honey, I don't know what you're talking about, honey. That was your rifle. The money we spent with that was for you." You know, my wife, she came to me, well, a couple of years ago. She came to me, and she came walking up to me while I was working inside the house, and had a Shotgun News opened up to the Springfield XD article, and she was pointing to the pistol, and she goes, "This is I think I would like one of these." And I just looked at her, and I go, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
I love you, honey. And then I ran down and got it, because when a woman says she wants a firearm, you go get it right then and there. And so she has her own Springfield XD subcompact 9mm.
Right. But speaking of wanting more things as well as Appleseed is concerned, is that we were talking this time last year about RBCs. I think it's time we need to start talking more along the IBCs. We're getting a lot of instructors, but we need to get together and really spend more time with one another and really get our craft honed a lot more.
That is an excellent point, because we've been talking about that on the Master Instructor Board and on steering, and that is really starting to push the IBCs more, not just for new instructors, but making sure that all the instructors that can, that you schedule yourself for an IBC. I don't care if you've already done 15 events. You still schedule yourself for an IBC so that you can get a refresher on it, so that you can get the latest info. You can you can polish your craft, because that's one of the few times you're going to get to do something like that. The rest of the times you're doing your show, and you don't have a whole lot of time to polish your craft or to hear about new info, et cetera, because you're doing the event. So we'd like to get all of the instructors possible. If you can schedule yourself for an IBC in the course of the year, please do so. All you instructors out there, if you can schedule yourself for an IBC, that's what we'd like to see you do. Get to an IBC, and heck, you can even help instruct at the IBC. But make sure that you attend so that you can get all the info, you can get a fresh injection of the information on how to teach these skills and techniques, get that injected into you. Try and schedule one at least once a year, more if possible. And like I said, even if you're a veteran instructor, we still would like you to go through the IBCs. Heck, I enjoy it just because it's a chance for me to spend time with other instructors, you know, at other than Appleseed events. It's hard to do a whole lot of or spend a lot of time with other instructors, et cetera, at the Appleseed event, because the whole thing is teaching. And now you're going to be teaching at the IBCs too, but it's also a good place for everybody to get a refresher on their craft. Where did you say you were going to be for April 19th?
Oh, I'll be at the Homage of Badlands, Oklahoma. That's like our biggest range we've got in the state. So as far as I'm concerned, as long as I'm around, we're always going to be there April 19th.
Okay. What about USSA. Have you heard?
I talked to them last week, and just like it was last year, we're going to have to fit it in on the counter. But they're getting beat up left and right. Every time we turn around, we got more and more of their members showing up at our shoots, and they all remember me as being the range master. And like I told them, sooner or later, if we have to run two gun lines, we'll run it.
Well, good. I may just call Josh. That's it, right? Isn't it Josh? Yeah.
Yeah, Josh or Brian Hill, either one.
Ask him how it's going and if they need anything else, and, just kind of just say hi. Just make sure that we're still scheduled to...
I still feel very lucky that, we still had an apple sleeve waiver at that range when all the big shooters and the tactical conferences and all these guys like Musawi that came through there and got to see what apple sleeve was really like up close and then be able to go back to their home areas and go to an event and actually see what it was all about.
Right. Okay, well, do they have the date set yet for the event?
I keep wanting to say they wanted to do it at the end of May, first part of June, right before their big conferences start.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Chris.
Yes, sir.
And if you show up, it'll be a pleasure. And well, I'll tell everybody. Well, I'll do the pre 6 a.m. wake up and tell everybody, that it's a possibility that you might show up and be ready. So.
Outstanding.
All right. God bless you, brother. And
sure.
I'll see you this next Tuesday.
Okay, sir.
All right. You take care. All right. OG, I told you at the last Rifleman Boot Camp, he was listening to us on Tuesday night up in Oklahoma for the radio show. And he actually called in, and I believe he and his wife were already laying there in bed about to go to sleep, and he listened to the radio show, I think, on his phone, and then, he said his wife turned to him and said, you know what, I think maybe you should go to that. And he said, you know what, I think you're right, honey. And he got up, and he got dressed, threw all his gear in his truck, and drove through the night, and he came driving up right at 6 a.m. that next morning, and immediately started playing Reveille on the loudspeaker on his vehicle. All right, we're ready to take another call. Area code 361, you're on the air.
That's you. Hey, we're on. Oh, hey, Scout, welcome to White Sands Missile Range.
Hey. Well, I'm glad you guys called in. How's everything going there?
Broke there, Scout.
What's that?
Okay, Scout.
Yes.
This is Pop. We got Ball Dragon and me and Paul Seeley and Son of Martha. And, boy, everybody else just about is here. We've been listening to the show for a while, so y'all want to say something? Go for it, Jack. Here, Ball, say something.
Here, Ball, say something.
Good evening, Scout.
Hey, who's this?
This is Santa Martha.
Hey, Ron, how are you doing?
Sweet.
How is the show going up there?
Well, so far so good. I tell you what, I think we're going to run into environmental challenges the first day on these shoots, no matter what we do. I mean, we stay in Georgia, and the first day they have more rain in one day than they've had in 3 months. We come out here, and we got 40-mile-an-hour wind gusts and sand getting into everything.
Well, I know that was them shutting the shoot down and not you guys, right?
When? Yesterday?
During the wind.
My call.
I'm just saying that usually the Appleseed folks are not the ones that ever shut down a shoot, no matter what the weather. Usually, if they ever get shut down, it's usually by a range or something, by the range officers. It's not the Appleseed folks.
It's kind of a blanket thing that the wind about 25 miles down. And we went to the fellow who's in charge of this, and it wouldn't make it back. He gets to go ahead and keep the 25. It's a darn good thing because we've been able to shoot for the first 2 hours of the day. Now, the main reason that decided to tie the ribbon on it, is there was so much sand in these rifles that about one-third of the line could not get through a five-round string of fire without having a malfunction. The type of malfunctions, we were reaching the point where after every string of fire, we were having to have the armorer come down and knock cartridge cases out of the chambers. So,
well, you know what? I can't think of, I mean, I can't really think of better better weather than for them to experience because, you know, I just talked to the guy, I got my friend of mine who is over in Afghanistan, and he repeated the exact same thing. And the thing about the Appleseed events is you get to see how your rifle platform works in all different kinds of weather. When you guys were at Fort Stewart, I saw the pictures of the rifles and the gear, just the tips of the rifles sticking out of the water that were laying on the line. They were completely submerged.
Yep. Oh, and we certainly got to see how they work in the sand. And the answer is they ran a surprisingly long time. And actually, if these rifles had been, you know, carried on patrol or something like that, they would have functioned fine. The thing was, when they clear them and set them on the line with the bolt back, the ejection port cover open, and no magazine in the well,
right?
And as much blowing around, that's just almost trying to have something happen.
Well,
medical modifications, how we do things today, which seem to have minimized the, as far as I know, we only had to have armor support in one instance. And much less malfunctions today. Let's put it this way. We were able to fire four times as many rounds today as we did yesterday.
Right. And we've experienced that type of weather here in Davila. I've got some photographs of the rifles laying on the line, and the wind and the sand is blowing so hard that in between the courses of fire, there are sand dunes that pile up against the rifles. So we've experienced that same thing.
Well, it's the first time in my life I've ever had to pick a rifle up and dump the sand out before loading it.
Well, how are the folks there, how are the troops responding to the Appleseed program?
Actually, pretty well. And I got to tell you, these guys are being really good sports. I mean, they're just like a steward. They're having to struggle along under the capots and the armor. And a lot of them wearing camelbacks. Some of them are carrying a ridiculous amount of magazines, and they're starting to put it together today. They're finding a way to make it work. We actually got permission from the OIC at chow time to four instructors, and we borrowed some battle rattle from the troops and went back down to the firing line where they were having chow, and we tried shooting wearing their gear, so that we could better advise them on how to compensate. And that was very valuable, and we were able to come back and brief the troops on what we found.
Right.
And there's a different body types. So, you know, you had the little short, fat guys like me, and then we had a couple of lanky fellas, and we were able to give advice on several different body types and positions. So that was good, and I was very, very happy that the OIC signed off on it.
Well, you're right, because it does make a big difference, because normally we have the folks, they're on the ground in the prone, and they're laying on nothing but skin. Now, there's a big difference whenever you're laying dead on top of 12 magazines and the rest of your gear and everything else. So you have to figure out a way around that, but that's what you guys do. That's what the program does. Riflemen persist. They adapt, they overcome in all situations, and it sounds like that's exactly what you guys did today and yesterday.
Sounds good. All right.
Hi, Scott. How long is he going there?
I don't know.
What's that?
Oh, that's Paul Seeley.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
It's real educational in here. There are 12 of us in the billets here tonight. We're all middle-aged, and it's kind of a cross between a chainsaw convention and a diesel engine shop anywhere in Yonville.
Well, it sounds like y'all are having a great time there.
Oh,
Oh, we just had a delicious meal of various MREs, and we're grading papers, and it just don't get much better than this.
Now, we'll be seeing you at the boot camp, right? You'll be heading over here from your event there to help instruct at the boot camp.
Yeah, we're finishing up here on Friday, and I go reclaim my stash Davila RBC goods at Taos Clock and Blue Feathers, and then I take off for Davila. That's about a 700-mile jaunt, so I'll be in Broadhead and Bushy-tailed when we start up on Sunday morning.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, that's great. Well, how are the guys, how are they doing with, like, the history and stuff? Have you heard any feedback from them about that?
Actually, I was down on the line while they did the history, so I'll have to defer to some of those that actually gave it. But in the after-action review tonight, one of the guys stood up and said he really liked the history. They're pretty tired, too. The conditions here, are, as I mentioned, they're something less than optimal. And between the wind and the cold and the sand and whatnot, everybody's working to the best of their abilities, but these are sort of real challenging conditions.
You forgot to mention the hail.
Oh, yeah. Well, it rained for a little bit, and we got a little bit of hail. We got some interesting pictures in that.
Well, I've been in the New Mexico and the Panhandle hailstorms, and I think the last one I was in, it was about a foot and a half deep of hail.
Boy, well, we didn't have that, but... You know, I've been studying the higher wind estimating procedures. I never thought I'd have to do this, and we can conclusively say that the numbers for estimating winds from 25 to 30 and 30 to 35 are entirely accurate.
Well, it sounds like you guys are having a great time there. I wish I was there. Who else? Is there anybody else that wants to jump on?
All right. Hey, Scott Beatty here.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. I don't know if my I don't know if my little Scrappy's out there listening tonight, but if she is, I wanted to say hi.
Well, good. How do you feel things are going there? How's the event shaping up?
You know, this is a good place for persistence.
Yeah.
These guys have been giving it everything we've got in all kinds of conditions, and we're determined that this is going to be a successful event.
Well, have the troops been responding to the instructions? I mean, have you heard any feedback about the techniques and the skills that you're teaching them?
Yes, in fact, we had an after-action report with them this evening.
And what did they have to say?
Well, a lot of them really liked what they heard. They knew
good.
One thing that was really good is they mentioned that they heard consistency from all the different instructors, so they knew that we knew what we were talking about.
Right. Right. And I imagine, just like... Paul said that the history has got to be just an extra bonus on it. I mean, they're getting a chance to become more proficient with their rifles, and you know that's a very important thing for a soldier, is to be proficient with their rifles, and then of course to get a chance to hear the history behind this, behind the nation. Is just a great plus. What do you guys have planned for tomorrow?
Go ahead. Well, tomorrow we're going to take another look at our students and see if we can match the instruction to exactly what they need all the way across the board.
Are you guys going to get a chance to fire at actual distance?
Yes, we will.
Okay, great. That is always a great. Will you be firing on the actual distance at the dog targets? Or are they going to fire at actual distance on pop ups?
Oh, no, we're going to be on D targets.
Okay, All right. Well, anybody else there that wants to jump in?
I think we just, we got Ron here.
Okay.
I forgot something, Scout. I just wanted to let all the listeners know we got instructors here from California, from Arizona, from Illinois, from Missouri, of the South.
Texas.
From the Texas.
And two guys from Texas A&M University.
Two guys
yeah.
from Texas A&M.
Oh, man. Well, it was a really, you guys put together really a great collective of instructors, and they are from all across the United States, and I got to tell you how proud I am of you guys, because this is, as I was telling folks earlier, this is, the program is a service organization. Nobody's getting paid for this. Nobody's getting paid to go out there and help instruct our troops in improving their rifle marksmanship. This was all done voluntarily by each and every one of the instructors that are out there, and you fall into that long line of folks that the nation owes a great debt to, and we're really proud of you.
It's all them. I'm just the idea guy. These guys are doing all the work. And whenever I make stupid decisions, they're sure to let me know about it. We've got a very very similar dynamic here that we had at Fort Stewart, where basically you get intelligent, motivated people together, tell them what needs to be done, and cut them loose to do it. And it's working out wonderfully. We got, I think, Kerry here from Longshot, wants to say a few words to you while we're here. You have
all
a good
right,
night.
Let's go. We're ready.
Scout.
Hey, Longshot.
How you
doing?
Good. I'm sitting here wolfing down an MRE, and I'm sitting amongst the finest group of people I know anywhere on the planet.
That's just a given almost now. Well, I tell folks that, and you know, even though I tell that to everybody I meet, each and every time I'm at an event, I am still pleasantly surprised by the trueness of it. That every time you go to an Appleseed event, you're surrounded by the best our nation has to offer, the cream of the crop of Americans.
I wanted to tell you guys, the listeners, that we got to shoot in the boys' armor today, and my already high regard for our American soldiers went way up today, went off the charts, because that was probably the most difficult shooting I've ever done in my life, wearing Kevlar.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, if you got the Kevlar on, and then you've got a stack of 10 or 12 magazines in your belly, all the rest of the gear that you have on you, and still trying to find the correct place to put that buttstock, trying to find trying to get a good cheek weld, etc. It's a different ball game.
These guys have been patient with us. We're working them hard, and they've been patient. They follow the instructions. They're just a joy to work with, and this is a really incredible experience. I feel so fortunate just to be here.
Well, listen, I told Ron this, and I want to tell you too, is that we're tremendously proud of you guys. You guys are you're taking your place in that long unbroken line of folks who have made sacrifices and who've gone above and beyond the call to go out and like I was saying, you guys aren't getting paid for this. Nobody's getting any pay or perks to do this other than the knowledge that you are helping the soldiers to improve their rifle marksmanship skills.
We're doing a job that needs to be done.
Well, we certainly appreciate it, and we really look forward to hearing the after-action report. And listen, I hope the weather turns out nice for you guys, and God bless each and every one of you for what you're doing. And then we'll look for you guys on Tuesday, this next Tuesday, on the show to give us, if you guys will call in and give the AAR on the White Sands Missile Range on this next Tuesday's show. Can you do that?
I'm getting nods of approval around the room.
Okay. Well, we'll have you guys on at the beginning of the show this next Tuesday. Dr. Fisher is going to be on. He said he's probably only going to be good for about an hour or so. So we'll have him on at the end of the show because we want to try and make sure that we get the folks out in California enough time to get home and get settled in before we have him on, because we want them involved in it too. But you guys, if you'll come on at the beginning of the show so that we can get the AAR for the event on the air then. So if you guys will all make a pact with each other to call in this next Tuesday and let us know how it went.
We'll be there.
All right. Well, listen, best of skill to you guys. I'm not going to say luck because you're all riflemen, and a rifleman depends on his skill, not on luck. And we hope everything goes well for you guys. Hope the weather smooths out, settles out. And let's see, this is day two. By day three, you guys should be able to find your stride and finish up with a nice, strong finish. And we'll talk to you again on Tuesday the 16th.
Okay, Scout. God bless you and everybody, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
All right. Thanks a lot, folks. Listen, I want to thank everybody that called in tonight, and we will look for each and every one of you this next Tuesday night. We're having the second strike of the virtual muster. So we want everybody to be calling in, everybody to be showing up, logging on to the forum. We'll send out some reminders this week and make sure everybody knows. And I want to thank everybody for calling in. Thanks to the folks in the online chat. Thank you, Karen. Thanks to all the guys out at White Sands Missile Range. And we'll see you all this next Tuesday. God bless everyone. Good night. And I will see you on the beach.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.